Hey there, welcome to the High Five Podcast. Each episode, we count down our top five favorites in a different category, from movies and music to the totally random. Get ready to laugh and maybe even yell at our picks. Let's get into this week's High Five.
How are my levels? Am I too loud?
No.
Nope. Let me see where you are here.
You know there's something playing in the background, right?
Yeah. Christmas music.
Is that what you call that?
It's one that I discovered today. I was listening to there's a Sirius XM channel that Jimmy Fallon curated.
Okay.
So I thought it would be kind of applicable. Seeing as though we are talking
SNL
cast members, and so this was one of them that he talked about, and it was kind of funny.
Down at the corner, I know I've never heard that before.
I hadn't either. It's called I Just Go Nuts at Christmas by Yogi Jorgensen.
Nice.
It's about
world renowned.
He was trying to find the perfect robe, the perfect nightwear for his wife, but he didn't know her size, so he just bought her a carpet sweeper. So how you been?
Good. Yeah. Nothing too crazy. How about you?
Not bad. We were in your neck of the woods last weekend for Vivian's robotics state event.
How'd that go?
They survived it. started off pretty well, and then they were teamed up with a couple bad teams. One of them was like the way robotics works is that you get teamed up with somebody, and when you're in just the regular part of the meet, it's round robin. You know, you get paired up with this number team, and then you go up against two other teams that are paired together, and your cumulative score against the other team determines who wins. And so they randomly got picked. They got picked to be with a group of boys. I'm trying to remember where they were from. I think they were from... Oh, they were from St. Joe's, because their team name was something Jobots.
Okay.
And they were, like, bullying the girls into, like, playing defense. And they're like, what does defense even mean? Like, you're supposed to score points. And this team wasn't even ranked as high as they were going into the event. And so it's just like, what are you telling us to do? And so the drivers were all thrown off, and they had a terrible matchup. They lost the match. And then the next matchup, the team that they were matched up with got a 75 point penalty for apparently touching the opposing team's robot. And they got a big talking to for that. And so they lost that matchup. And so then I think that kind of just started the slippery slope where they just didn't feel like they belonged anymore, I'd seen them perform way better up to this point. And so it was sort of hard to watch them kind of go down from there.
Yeah.
They ended strong on the final day, 'cause it was a 2-day event. They ended strong. So that was good. And, but yeah, it was hard.
Friday and Saturday?
Yeah. Yep, so Vivian had to actually miss school. She got an excused absence because it was a school sponsored function, essentially.
School. Right.
Yeah, so. All right, Caleb. Well, here we are back at it. Welcome to the High Five Podcast, where every week we list off our five favorite items within an ever-changing category ever-changing categories, and you chose this week. And
I did.
What did you choose, and why?
Top five SNL cast members of all time. I don't know why. I just saw it on the list and thought it'd be an interesting subject. I know we've had SNL in a couple of different categories on our running list, and
yep.
I don't think we've done any SNL anything, right?
No, I think we've done actors. So I know that some of our favorite actors were SNL cast members.
Yeah. So I just thought it'd be a fun conversation. I know, you know, I would say you're probably a bigger SNL fan than I am, or at least you watch it more regularly than I do, especially lately. Now I basically only consume it on Reels or whatever. Yeah. So,
and
that'll just be fun.
And for me, it's like Vivian is probably the biggest driving force to watch
sure.
it because she loves it so much. And I mean, we love it too, but
yeah.
You know, obviously, when you're an adult, you you get busy, and you know, your kid has to ground you sometimes. We actually started watching one a couple nights ago. It was one from a couple weeks ago that had Melissa McCarthy on it. So we watched 20 minutes of that one, and then Vivian had to go to bed. But we don't always we always start off each season seeing them because, you know, it's oftentimes the first two or three episodes are with big name people. And then around Christmas time, then they have some big name hosts again. And then they always end strong. But sometimes we've actually not watched one in probably over a month. Kind of in a dry spell right now. But I was actually doing this list. I was going through and making a YouTube playlist of skits that I want to watch with Vivian, or skits that I, for some reason, missed and I want to watch. And it's got 86 clips in it. So it's going to be a long marathon of watching SNL clips. And a lot of them, a lot of them are from our childhood, where it's the 90s and the early 2000s people that, you know, she just obviously was not alive to see. And was the beginning of my love for SNL. Obviously, you know, all the old ones and, you know, the Eddie Murphys and the Chevy Chases and the Dan Aykroyds.
Sure.
The Belushis and all that kind of stuff. But those are, I think you'll at least find with my list. And I quickly glanced at your list because you sent over some videos and stuff for me to be able to play. And I think, we're both going to kind of be leaning in the direction of newer age SNL people because of our age.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and it was primarily for me, it's primarily, you know, early 2000s into, you know, late, I think the latest one I have left in 2022. But that's just because, you know, that was when I watched it all the time, you know? And like you said, the older you get, the less you kind of watch it. Maybe you aren't staying up as late, or, you know, I know just with the age of the internet and stuff, I consume most of it just in clip form as opposed to, you know, sitting down and watching an entire episode.
So. Yeah. Yep. Cool. Well, I think that's enough of an icebreaker for us to get into it. I say let's go for it. Since it's your topic, why don't you start us off with your number five?
Yeah. So, my number five is, I think, a person who kind of changed SNL in his short stint there. He was on SNL from 2006 to 2012, and it's Andy Samberg. I think his short clips, you know, kind of creating digital shorts, that kind of stuff, I think kind of changed the way SNL was made and is made now to this day. You know, kind of those short viral clips are kind of the big way that they kind of make their name, I think, nowadays. So and he was really one of the first ones, him and, you know, the guys from Lonely Island. So I loved the shorts. I always loved, you know, I thought he was, you know, whenever he would break or whatever during skits was always my favorite. You know, I would say I'm definitely more of an Andy Samberg post SNL, but I still loved him when he was on SNL for sure. Still.
Yep. And to the layperson, when they break, like if you're not an SNL person, SNL watcher, you probably don't really know what it means to like break, but like what happens a lot.
When they start laughing.
When they start laughing and they can't keep their composure during a skit that's really funny or awkward. It's really the best part, two of you, or when they can't hold it together. I'm sure they hate it, but it's really really one of the best parts. So you shared the clip of Andy Samberg's Lazy Sunday. So we'll just kind of...
Just because that's the original, the OG, like the first kind of big thing he did.
Yeah. So it's kind of a rap with Chris Parnell, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Who is a cast member. So they're singing about the Chronicles of Narnia. Gotta get to the chorus here. There you have it. So they're singing about a pretty mundane Sunday that they decide they want to get some cupcakes and watch the Chronicles of Narnia on their lazy Sunday.
All of those shorts were so good. I mean, there's so many of them that were so good. You know, obviously when he partners up with Justin Timberlake for a bunch of them too, and Threw It on the Ground was one of my favorites, which was an early one.
So. Yeah. My dad is not a cell phone.
I threw it on the ground. Yeah, I love that.
Cool. All right, so that was your number five. My number five is a little bit older. This is not my oldest cast member, but I think it's right up there. And that's Tracy Morgan. So I narrowed down my list, and I think I probably have 20 people total. Anywhere between 12 and 15 honorable mentions. And my five, I really narrowed it down to, like, for me, must-see TV. When I knew Tracy Morgan was on, when I knew my other four were on, it was like I had to watch. If I knew this skit included this person, I had to watch it. And so Tracy Morgan was really one of my first favorite SNL cast members. And one of my favorite skits that he would do, a reoccurring skit, was Brian Fellow's Safari Planet. Where he's just like this dummy. You know, it kind of reminded me of what's his name, why am I drawing a blank? The Australian guy.
Steve Irwin.
Steve Irwin kind of reminded me, like, the concept of Steve Irwin. He dressed up like Steve Irwin, but he was an idiot. Like Tracy Morgan played an idiot, like zoologist, basically knew nothing about these animals and talked about how they were staring at him weird. And so this is Brian Fellow's Safari Planet. He loves animals and they love this is the back. Intro. Interspecies friends, we ain't kidding, Mac. Brian Fellow's Safari Planet.
Brian Fellow's Safari Planet. Brian Fellow is not an accredited zoologist, nor does he hold an advanced degree in any of the environmental sciences. He is simply an enthusiastic young man with a sixth grade education and an abiding love for all God's creatures. Share his love tonight on Brian Fellow's, Brian Fellow's, Brian
Fellow's Safari Planet. Good evening and welcome to Brian Fellow's Safari Planet. I'm Brian Fellow. Tonight we're going to meet some animals that aren't cute or cuddly. They're weird, and I'm very excited and a little scared. So let's get going. Our first guest enjoys eating tin cans and whatnot. Please welcome a goat.
So, probably a real zoologist brings on the goat and Rachel Dratch.
Yeah.
And that part of it is all real, but he is just an idiot with a sixth grade education and is just is just gold. Like, it's just so funny and awkward, and like he looks at the camera weird, and like it's just all funny. So yeah, Tracy Morgan, awesome. Just, you know, chaotic, you know, chaotic energy. Just always, like, he was probably one of the best people at making other cast members break, like, because he always just like say the most ridiculous things, and his timing was just perfect and he knew it. Also loved him on 30 Rock, which was one of my favorite shows from the early to late, you know, aughts, I guess you'd say, is when that was out. But yeah, love Tracy Morgan. And yeah, so for those reasons, he's my number five.
Nice. Well, that's a perfect segue into my number four, which is Tracy Morgan. I agree with you. It was the same. Like, whenever he came on, he was like one of those you had to go see and watch. Even when he's come on for other things, like, I mean, he's come back for different stuff. One of the, I don't remember if you ever remember the Scared Straight underage drinking skit that he did with, that one always makes me, that's a perfect example of like him being silly and making people break. He makes Bill Hader break in that by basically sticking his finger in his mouth. And it's just, it's hilarious. I think Tracy Morgan is funny. He could literally just read the phone book and it would make me laugh, just the way he delivers and talks and just everything about him, I think is funny. He always makes me laugh. No matter what he's doing, I always get a good chuckle. And yeah, he great, great cast member for sure.
Now what they do this time?
You know, that's key in there.
Yeah.
Come on, you're not allowed in
here. Here we go. Oh, we'll get to Tracy talking.
But I guess where it ends up, a monkey ripped your fist off.
How would that happen?
Hey.
What? Okay, so yeah, just him and Kenan Thompson are basically just these prison workers that are just trying to scare these white
young
boys.
Kids straight. Yeah. What I was trying to think, I think at this point he is off the cast. I think, is this when he was hosting?
This was 12 years ago, so I think what would that be, 2013? I don't know. I don't,
because he was off. He left in 2003.
Oh yeah. So then because that would make sense. Because then he went to 30 Rock.
Yeah, because it's 2009. So yeah, he must. I don't know if he was the host or what, but probably. I know he's come back several times and done different stuff. That
is, and obviously had his big car accident where he almost died, and that was a big thing for him to come back just for the 50th.
He did. There were so many good skits he did. Did a Scared Straight on the 50th as well.
Oh my gosh.
With Eddie Murphy.
So. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was a good one. So, yeah, love Tracy Morgan.
Yeah.
All right. So, my number four is my oldest one. And this was really the first one where it was, like I said, appointment viewing for me, where, like, if I knew he was on, or if I, you know, saw old YouTube videos with him, or if I just was flipping through, you know, channels and I saw he was on a skit, I would stop and watch, and then I'd probably end up watching the rest of the episode. But this is Chris Farley. You know, I loved him, you know, when he did the Chippendale auditions with what's his name? Patrick Swayze? Yeah.
Patrick Swayze. Yeah.
That one was awesome, where he's, you know, obviously Chris Farley's big and overweight,
in great shape,
and so he's dancing with his shirt off. He's auditioning to be a Chippendales dancer, and he's dancing next to Patrick Swayze, and they're both dancing. And obviously, Patrick Swayze's just ripped, and Patrick Swayze thinks that he is a lesser dancer than Chris Farley is, and it was just like a whole thing through the episode. But that one doesn't come through in audio as well. But loved the Matt Foley.
Hey, Mom.
Brian, so you got David Spade here as a kid.
Your mother Ellen and I are so glad you decided to join us.
Let's bring in here Chris Farley. So they're sitting in the living room talking to their kids about, you know, motivating them to do something with their lives, and they hire Chris Farley or Matt Foley to be the motivational speaker to talk to their kids about doing something with their lives.
Now, as your father probably told you, my name is Matt Foley, and I am a motivational speaker.
He's very sweaty.
Now let's get started.
And very,
let me give you a little bit of a scenario. Use
his hands and his body
about.
And talking directly
First
in their
off,
face,
I
making them break the whole time.
I am 35 years old. I am divorced. And I live in a van down by the river.
So that's pretty much it. He goes on to break things in the house and then falls out the window of the house. But yeah, I mean, he was just the most over the top, the most funny, like the most flamboyant, just like he got your attention. And to a teenage boy, that was just gold. So that's Chris Farley to me. Obviously, he, you know, famously died of, I think, a drug overdose. And so we lost him. And that was a very sad day because he was a talent, that's for sure. I could have easily listed him higher, but you know, we didn't get him for very long. Like, he was not around as long as these, my top three. So for that reason, he's my number four, but really should have been higher. So anyway, that's my number four, is Farley.
Yeah, his physical comedy, I don't think anybody did it as good as he did it, for sure. So.
Yeah.
The athleticism of a big dude, right? I mean, he was
he
was an athletic, he's an athletic dude for being a big guy, but so my number three, I just think is, I had a really hard time ranking my top three. I mean, any of these could be my number one. But she was definitely one that I would stop and watch and try to see all of her skits. She was on the cast from 2005 to 2012. And it's Kristen Wiig. The character she did, the character she had, I mean, you know, we all know the Target Lady and, Karina from the Californias. I mean, there were so many that she did so well. The Surprise Me Lady, or Surprise Sue. I just felt like she did so many good characters, was always funny. And I just think the way that she kind of played with cast members and made them laugh. And, I know I sent you that clip of her and Bill Hader. Her and Bill Hader were on screen together, I just those two together were so good, and they would purposely again try to make each other break in any way they could. So I did send you that clip of them. Again, this is more of one that's a visual thing because it's about them, you know, just going over the top and spitting Slurpees. You know, Bill Hader ends up spitting Slurpees all over her face, and then they both just start cracking up laughing, and it's just so good.
I watch a lot of reality television.
So this is with Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
It's really good audio here.
Yeah.
It's funny to watch.
Yeah. So, I mean, if anyone wants to watch the...
What is your secret?
Everyone's trying not to laugh. But anyway,
I make sure I never go to bed.
Yeah.
So if you want to actually see the clip, it's the Hollywood Dish with Scarlett Johansson from SNL. Yeah. And it's, it's one of my favorite, you know, scenes from any SNL. It makes me laugh so hard every time I see it. So.
Yep. She's great. I'm going to leave it there because she might come up later. My number three is Kate McKinnon. And again, appointment viewing. Some of her the best ones are, you know, when she is when she's doing her Close Encounters. She's been abducted by aliens. This one will do from the 50th.
Thank you all for coming. I'm General Fairfax with the U.S. Space Force.
So everyone's talking about their story about being abducted, and they've got pretty normal things where, you know, they were treated well by the aliens, and then it gets to her and she was just completely like violated and treated very poorly by aliens. Yeah. And let me see if I can scrub to a good spot here where this is the one with Ryan Gosling in it.
Morris with the NSA.
Yeah, this is probably the most famous one.
Yeah.
We know you've all been through quite an ordeal.
Here we go.
So we appreciate you.
So here's her story of when she got abducted.
The alien showed my mind the furnace of That's all not creation, her. What we would call God.
Here we go.
What? These fancy cats are seeing God. Meanwhile, I'm starting phase two, which is me sitting on a stool while 40 gray aliens take turns gently batting my knockers around. Did y'all get the knocker stuff?
No knocker stuff, sorry.
Ryan Gosling's barely holding it together.
No. They were real respectful about it. They were in a line. And then one by one, they'd step up, slap a knocker, and then go to the end of the line, wait for another turn. It didn't hurt. It was like, I'm sorry, pardon me, Sharon. It's kind of like that. No harm, no foul.
Demonstrating on Cecily Strong. Anyway. Yep. Kate McKinnon just, she was the king of just being able to tell a story that was just completely off the wall, and she would never crack or like very rarely break herself. But
yeah,
she's just awesome. And, more recent, loved her. And so for those reasons, she's my number three and, loved her.
Yeah. So again, easy transition to my number two, which is Kate McKinnon. I couldn't agree with you more. My favorite stuff of hers was when she would play different. She would, you know, pretend to be different characters, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I loved it when she was Rudy Giuliani. I think it was so good. She did her Justin Bieber was incredible. I mean. The amount of characters and things that she did was incredible. I mean, I thought about putting her at number one, but I didn't just because of nostalgia. But I just, Kate McKinnon to me is an all-time incredible SNL cast member, and it bums me out every time that she's not on it. I really wish she would still be on it.
She comes back every once in a while, but yeah.
She was so good. I would argue she carried the show for several years.
For sure.
And just incredible. I don't know. I couldn't speak more highly of her, but I agree. Those Mrs. Rafferty as the UFO encounters were incredible. But again, for me, I loved her Rudy Giuliani. And I know I sent you that clip, but
here's Rudy.
It's just so funny. Yeah.
Country here to comment is the man leading the charge, his personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani.
Whoa, look at that. If it ain't de Blasio and Dinkins, hello.
Hi. Yeah, I get it. Hi, Rudy. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, good times. Yeah. Hey, did you see my press conference today? It was at the Four Seasons. Fancy.
sounds fancy, but it was at a landscaping company called Four Seasons. Was that a mistake?
What? No. Anyway, I'm glad I made it to the show on time, because first I went to 30 Rocks. That's a granite quarry in New Rochelle. What a night.
Yeah.
So good.
Great. Gold.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So I said I wouldn't talk too much about Kristen Wiig earlier because she is my number two. And I just loved her. Really, when she did the Lawrence Welk show from PBS, and there was the sisters, the Finger Lakes sensation.
Yeah.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Lawrence Welk show. Aren't these bubbles wonderful?
So
if I could have them follow.
I'll fast forward here. Will Ferrell's leading. It's four beautiful sisters. Well, three and a half. So they all have their line.
I like
I got them.
Ooh, I like white teeth.
Hey, look at them.
I like fluffy.
Here she comes.
I use lotion.
I like can I touch.
And she's got doll arms. They're tiny.
Yep.
And she's got a big forehead with a weird wig.
Yep.
And she is not attractive. And she tries to be awkward and puts the doll hands all over Will Ferrell, who is the host. And it's just really funny. But yeah, I mean, she could make whatever she was doing funny. Even if it was a terrible skit, she could make it awkward and funny and just like stare at people or just, you know, put her hands in weird spots and save it. And one of my other favorites was when she would do the duets with Fred Armisen, because they would
one of them
would know the words and the other person wouldn't know the words, but then they'd be trying to echo each other or sing in unison with each other. But it was just always funny. Just pretty much loved everything Kristen Wiig did. And then obviously she went on to have fame from, you know, Bridesmaids.
Bunch of stuff. Yeah.
And some other, you know, movies that.
Despicable Me.
Despicable Me. Yeah, for sure. And
What's the one that she made with Bill Hader? The twins? Skeleton Twins? That's a good one. I don't care.
I've not seen that one.
It's a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so that was my number two. Yeah, what's your number one?
So again, you know, my top three could go in any order, but my number one, I picked number one because I feel like I grew up watching on SNL. It's kind of the one that really got me into SNL and watching it all the time. As much as I possibly could, and that's Will Ferrell. So Will Ferrell was there from 95 to 02. So I would have been, early teen ish. So I loved Will Ferrell. He physical comedian, always made other people break, and when he would break, it would just, that stuff just made me laugh so hard. He had so many good characters, from Craig Buchanan to obviously Gene Frankel, who everyone knows from the cowbell guy. And then Roger, I don't remember that guy's last name, but the guy who's always in the hot tub. That guy,
Lovers.
With Dratch. Yeah, yeah.
The Lovers.
So many good characters. I just thought, I don't know. I mean, again, it was a must-see thing when he came on. I just laughed as hard as I could. One of my favorite sketches that he did was the Get Off the Shed sketch. It just, every time I hear it, it makes me laugh. The progression of him getting angrier and angrier at his kids is just, I don't know.
It's grilling so out with friends at his house.
Great landscaping job. Did you do that yourself?
You bet. Hey, there's going to be a meeting between your ass and the palm of my hand if you don't get off the shed. Now, get off
towards the end
shed.
Of it. Yeah.
What do you think of the fountain? You like that?
Oh, it's a great fountain.
He just goes back to talking normal.
Yeah. What time did you say John was going to drop by?
I haven't seen that skit in a long time.
I know. It's so good. The other one, I'm a man. I'm 40.
Yeah.
I drive a PT Cruiser. Or no, I drive a Dodge Charger.
Dodge Charger. Yep.
I love Will Ferrell. He's definitely my favorite SNL character or cast member, and he was so good.
Yep.
Obviously went on to, making some of the greatest movies of all time as well.
Yep. Anchorman, Talladega Nights. What else?
This Time of Year, Elf, obviously.
Yeah, Elf, obviously. Yep, great. Just was just a genius for the comedic timing and being able to, just be deadpan and just be saying the most ridiculous things while staring straight at you, looking as serious as possible, yelling, get off the shed.
I don't remember the name of the skit, but the skit where they're all in a boardroom and he comes in that Speedo.
The American.
That one still, to me, it just cracks me up.
Yep. Yeah, that was actually one of the videos that I put on the list for Vivian to see.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah. But anyway. Cool. Well, I'm going to top this off and make it the lamest, least climactic top five high five episode. And I'm also going to say Will Ferrell. Yeah, I mean, just he had, obviously, like we just said, like he was a genius, timing, funny, just knew how to do it. But then also just he was on for so long too, like, so like he just was just, yeah, and it seemed like everybody loved playing in that sandbox with him, so it seemed like he was in almost every skit. But yeah, my selection was the Harry Carey one when he
oh yeah
let me pull this up.
Hi
to the innermost planets of our solar system. This is Space, the Infinite Frontier, with your host, Chicago Cubs broadcaster Harry Carey.
So he's with Jeff Goldblum. Cow
disease.
What about it?
Well, it was here for a while, then it went away. Your thoughts?
See, he does a pretty good Harry Carey impression.
Yes.
To begin with.
In the news for a while, and then it disappeared.
They're talking normal.
Good point.
And they cuts in.
Jeez, I hope I never get it.
Hi.
Hi, what about this? If you had a choice between being the top scientist in your field or getting mad cow disease, what would it be?
Of course I would choose to be the top scientist in my field.
Oh, good. I was worried you'd choose mad cow.
Why would you think that?
I guess I'm just a worrier. That's why my friends call me Whiskers.
I thought you said your friends called you Whiskers because you were curious as a cat.
Hi!
Well, Dr. Waller, it has been a pleasure.
So, yeah. That's, Will Ferrell. Just awesome. So funny. Great with the impressions and just wacky. Yep. And
his George W. Bush was really good,
too. Oh, my gosh, yeah. Didn't he do, like, an HBO, like, miniseries on George W. Bush? It was, like, You're Welcome.
I don't know.
It was called You're Welcome America or something like that. It was like, I want to say it was right after George W. Bush left office. And I want to say it was either on HBO or Comedy Central or something. Yeah, it was like a little miniseries.
Okay.
I'll have to see if I can find it. Or I'll just Google it here.
But yeah, I didn't know that. I don't remember seeing that. But yeah, I remember his George Bush was always really good.
Yeah. Will Ferrell has, not starred, but, he critically acclaimed a one-man Broadway show and subsequent television special titled You're Welcome, America, A Final Night with George W. Bush. It was a live one-man play that was later broadcast as a television special on HBO. The play ran on Broadway from February to March 2009, premiering on TV on March 14th, 2009, shortly after Bush left office. So,
yeah, that's crazy. I didn't know that.
I'll have to watch that. Will Ferrell's full speech is George W. Bush.
43rd President of the United States.
We'll just watch the beginning
George
of it here.
George W. Bush.
Strategery.
He comes out smoking a cigarette. This is the most watched part right here.
He's one of those guys. He can't handle the heat. He's a weak man. He can't even sit in the White House. No, he runs down to Mar-a-Lago. Mar-a-Lago. Sounds like a name from a Tom Clancy novel. The Hunt for
Mar-a-Lago. Is he talking about Trump?
Yeah.
That night,
well, this was from
the steamy, sultry air of
this
the
was 8 years ago,
Club,
so yeah, 2000.
The president speared a sumptuous and beautiful slice of chocolate cake. and brought it to his all-knowing lips.
That's funny. All right. So anyway, yeah, that's Will Ferrell. awesome. Well, what about honorable mentions?
Who I had so many.
Yeah, I mean, there were so many of these that I started in my top five, and they just, like I said, yeah, they were good, and they're people that I still love. There are a couple current cast members. But like not like these people who were just, like I said, appointment viewing. Like, I did not miss these. Yeah. So what do you got?
Yeah, I had Amy Poehler. I loved Amy Poehler, but I think I loved Amy Poehler more post SNL than really during SNL.
Parks and Rec,
Bill Hader, again, just barely. I knocked him off the list. I thought Bill Hader was always hilarious.
On mine, too.
Had so many good characters. Will Forte, again, same kind of era, same dude who would make me laugh. Fred Armisen.
And he was one of those guys characters. That he was literally like a chameleon. He could do
anything
in any way, and like he could play he could be the most unassuming character and then just go off, or like also in mine.
Maya Rudolph was obviously an amazing one as well. And one of the most underrated and was there forever, but I still thought was hilarious, was Daryl Hammond. I mean, he was there forever and did so many good things.
But, and he would do anything.
He would do anything. And he had so many good, he did Clinton, he did George W. I mean, he did so many different characters too. I was just thought he was, I just appreciated the different things that he did, which is why he's not on my list, but is an honorable mention. So,
Yep. I agree. I had a few other in addition to the ones that you listed. Said Amy Poehler. Obviously, you can't have Amy Poehler without Tina Fey. And then, obviously, she's just an incredible writer also. You had in your top five Andy Samberg. I really wanted to put him in my top five, but there was just no room.
I know.
Current cast member.
Made the room.
Yep. Yeah. Current cast member Bowen Yang, he's definitely my favorite current cast member.
For sure.
Again, it pained me to not have him in my top five, but, and maybe someday he will be in my top five, but right now, those other ones just eclipsed him a little bit. A couple of my favorite female characters, female cast members from the last like 10, 15 years, Vanessa Bayer. She was always just funny. She could play the smallest character. She could play a big character, and she just always had the best like facial expressions and just like, and she would always barely hold it together. She was one of those people that would, you know, always have a hard time
not breaking.
Cecily Strong, she was awesome. And then obviously she was a Weekend Update person for a while as well. Like you said, Fred Armisen, Jason Sudeikis. He was one of those people that was on it for so long, and this was well before his whatchamacallit fame, Ted Lasso fame. He was always great. He's the recurring dance performer in What's Up With That, the Kenan Thompson show host, or the show that never actually asked any questions about What's Up With That. It would always end and he'd be out there dancing in his red Adidas jumpsuit. Colin Jost, he's just one of those guys, you know, he's always kind of done the Weekend Update thing, and he's always been kind of like the guy who's just the straight white guy who is just like super like stereotypical white guy, and so like people he was the best at just like being mocked all the time, and so obviously that takes a special type of person to be able to take getting roasted all the time, especially by Michael Che, his Weekend Update co-host. Ego Wodum. She just recently left the cast, maybe a couple years ago. She was just like, just she always played someone who was either confused or confusing, like just played like off the wall characters. Oftentimes came on as, you know, a special person on Weekend Update to talk about the news, yeah. But then all, you know, go off on tangents. Jimmy Fallon. Yeah, I mean, he's Jimmy Fallon. Everybody knows Jimmy Fallon, and this is where he got his start. You know, famous for the Barry Gibb talk show. And, you know, he'd do that with Justin Timberlake, and all the things he did with Justin Timberlake were always funny.
Sure.
Yep. And then, like you said, Bill Hader. But, yeah, I loved Bill Hader as Stefan, who famously had a love affair with Seth Meyers.
Yeah.
Where it kind of grew over time, because it never started that way, but it kind of became a running joke that he had this infatuation with Seth Meyers. And yeah. So, just, you could keep going. I mean, I was looking at a list of, you know, top 50 yep. SNL cast members, I think the TV Guide put out, and I wish I could have put more. Yeah. So many. But yeah. SNL is a love of mine. And like you said, it's something we both love. It's one of those things that just like, it's stood the test of time. Like it has gone on obviously for over 50 years now. And it's just been kind of one of those things that you can always look at as like, this is kind of where the zeitgeist is like in our country right now. And not to even mention the musical guests that they've had on
right.
I mean, they always would be having the new up and coming, buzzworthy bands or artists come on to sing. And, I mean, it's actually the first place I saw the Killers perform. That's when I realized that they were my favorite. No, they weren't my favorite band when I saw them, but like that's when I first saw them. And that's where I first saw, you know, other people like Charlie XCX or I mean, it's kind of a place to see what's going on in New York and in the New York scene, you know. So
yeah.
And then not to mention all the hosts, you know, all the hosts that have been on in the Five Timers Club and all that kind of stuff with who's hosted more than five times. And it's just a who's who of comedy and music and just pop culture.
So yeah, like I said, the fact that it's lasted this long is crazy. I mean, there's no other show that's been on TV for this long.
So
and has produced so many stars that have gone on to make so many different things.
Yeah.
So it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean,
not only the, you know, the people acting, but the writers and the behind the scenes people, you know, I mean, like Conan O'Brien and all, you know, there's so many people. So,
And even just people who were just on there for a blip, like Chris Rock and, you know, people that went on to fame because they got snubbed from being a cast member, you know?
Well, I was looking at, Wikipedia has a list of everyone that's ever been on and there's people on here that I didn't even really I mean, you know, for like a season or whatever, but they were on it. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know that they were on it. So, like Chevy Chase was only on it for 2 years. I thought he was on it for way longer than that.
I would guess
longer. Like Joan Cusack was on SNL for one season.
John Cusack or Joan?
Joan.
Oh,
Joan
yeah.
Cusack.
Yep.
Robert Downey Jr. was on it for one season.
I remember hearing
that. Who else? There was Julia Louis-Dreyfus was on for a season. I mean, just so many people that have been on. Gilbert Godfrey.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just Anthony Michael Hall.
I
mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Some of the names. So.
Cool. All right. Well, I was trying to think of a topic that we could cover next. Oh, yeah. I think this would be a good one for obviously next week Thursday is Christmas, so we'll have to maybe work around that or just take next week off. But I would like to do something to cap off the year. So whether it be our five favorite movies from the year that came out this year, or our five favorite bits of, like, if you don't have necessarily a top five movies, we could even do just top five bits of media that came out this past year. So you could say movies, music, TV shows.
Sure.
You want to do something like that?
Yeah.
Or we could just say top five things that happened this past year. You know, if we want to look at it, you know, in this world of, you know, our world is burning.
No, I think it'd be fun to do it in the world of media, whether it's, you know, something you discovered in the year or, like you said, new show, new movie, something that came out that was new this year. Yeah. However you want to kind of lump it in there. But
I think we should try to limit it to something that was released in 2025.
Okay.
So, like, it can't be something that's older.
Got it.
Okay. Because, like, there's a lot of things. Like, I started watching Strange New World, Star Trek Strange New Worlds this year, but that's obviously didn't come out this year. I don't think that. I think we should try to keep it to something that, you know, that encapsulates the year 2025 for us.
Okay, top five 2025 entertainment.
Yep. So you got to look up the piece of media and make sure it was released to the public in 2025.
Yep.
I think there's enough movies, TV shows, music, video games. You know, there's enough things for us to choose from.
Yep.
Cool. I think that'll be good. Well, I think we can leave it there, Caleb. And as always, comment and post and send us messages if you've got any ideas or comments on our ideas. But yeah, I think we can leave it there. And I hope everybody has a good Christmas. And
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Happy New Year.
See ya.
Listening to the High Five Podcast. We'd love to hear what your high fives would be or what you thought of ours. You can find us on Facebook or email us at thehighfivepodcast@gmail.com, or just say hi if you know us in real life. And a big thank you to our friend Trevor Durheimer for the awesome intro and outro music. See you next time.